Hi, Jason Sexton. Welcome to this week's edition of Amazon Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazon Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Greg Karam. Greg, it was revealed over the weekend that Juan Lagares is wearing wristbands with his own face on them. So if you could wear, or if you had to wear, I suppose, probably the better way to put it, if you had to wear an item of clothing with a Mets player's face on it, what would you choose?
Well, I kind of like the stock photos that they do at the beginning of the season, from USA Today. You know, you see him in the editor. Wilmer Flores always looks like a deer in headlights. So I just kind of think that his face on like a T-shirt or something, just his face with like a blue T-shirt, I think that would be pretty funny, and I would wear it sparingly, but I would wear it.
So, I mean, first off, I want to say I really want those wristbands. Like, I would pay money for them if they'd make them up and put them in the Mets store or whatever, or Juan Lagares can start a charity and I'll pay money to the charity for the wristbands. And I don't really even have, I don't do anything that requires wristbands. Like, I don't sweat. Like, I don't really feel like I'm going to cause my arm to sweat, but I would just, you know, I'd take up tennis again.
What about, you don't want, like, any sweat dripping down your hand, you know, while you're bowling, you know?
I guess I could wear one. Everyone wears, like, compression sleeves now to bowl. I don't, but.
Compression sleeves.
It's like, invaded bowling recently. I don't really think it does anything, but whatever. But for the purposes of actually answering the question, they have those, we've talked about this on the podcast before, the Keith Hernandez shirt that just sort of the outline of Keith's face with the mustache.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Ellis Valentine for the Expos, there's one like that too. So I've talked in the past about wanting a Henry Mejia shirt like that with just the outline of the Henry's face and the hair.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be good.
Although he did cut it off right before.
I'm hoping when he comes back, it's back.
Yeah.
I feel like he should bring it back with him to the team. But I'm not going with that either, because I've talked about that before. I want the same shirt, but with Josh Satin with just the eyebrows. So it would technically be like Josh Satin's face, but, you know, it's like one of those.
Yeah, that would be, I don't think that many people would get that one, but.
The right people would.
The right, exactly, yeah.
So I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, but when we were going to the game on Friday, someone tried to buy my Josh Satin Buffalo Bisons jersey off me on the subway.
Yes.
That's the thing that happened.
I was there.
Well, you weren't on the subway, but you were at the game. I think I must have told the story to you when I got the game. So yeah, that wasn't going to happen, dude. It's like one of those very, like, Queens moment. He's oh, man, Buffalo Bisons jersey and a Binghamton Mets shirt. That's real cool. You know, a lot of people don't really, like, wear the minor league stuff. And then it went to, like, 2 seconds later. So how much you want for that jersey, man?
Yeah, it's like, not like,
the most, like, Queens moment possible. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, all right, dude, I get it. You're not. I don't care how much money you have in your wallet. It's a well-dressed dude. Like, coming from home from work, obviously, in Midtown or whatever. I'm like, there's not enough money in your wallet to just, we're going to stop this right now before it gets out of hand.
This is not happening.
But he took it well. It wasn't like, so we talked a little more minor league baseball. I told him other options he could have for buying his own customized minor league player jersey.
Well, you got to appreciate any guy who likes Josh Satin.
Sure.
I was
more interested in it being like a Bison's jersey, I think, more than it being Josh Satin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't see that until I turned around. Like, someone on Twitter said I should have dropped the, do you know who I am? But obviously, no, he didn't. So
yeah.
That would have been a waste of everyone's time. This is episode 123 of Amazing Avenue Audio. And we'll start off the agenda with an email, actually. They were sent directly to me, not to the podcast site. It's from Kenneth. It's a very nice email. He writes, "Hi, Jeff. I recently started listening to a few of the Mets podcasts this year, and I'm really impressed with the intelligent and interesting discussion. Clearly, you guys live Mets baseball and know your shit, so to speak. I've learned a ton, and it tides me over from game to game. But I'd like to make a comment with regard to your show. I realize you're a self-described pessimist, and maybe even you're right. But your listeners, by and large, are Mets fans. And we love the Mets. We want to be encouraged, hear about the silver lining to see hope. Here the Mets are in first place, despite not playing particularly well recently, having atrocious bench, etc., etc. I could go on and on, but you do that to me every episode. If I would, if I were any more of a Mets fan, you might drive me to shoot myself. Seriously, cheer things up a bit. I can't speak for everyone. I'm not a native New Yorker. Maybe you guys thrive on negativity. But stop being such a fucking downer. We're in first place, for Christ's sake. Get excited about the team. Thanks, Kenneth. Ken sent me this email right before the Mets got no hit. But I think Kenneth is right. And I've gotten some other messages from longtime listeners that I've been a bit of a downer this year. And the Mets are in first place. They're still in first place. The NL East is a tire fire. I'm going to find more pictures on Google image search of tire fires for my Twitter brand, probably, as the summer rolls on. But I think we should pep things up a little bit. Now, we're not going to change. The show's not going to change. And I have spent more than a few years now in corporate America. So I know a little bit about sort of that corporate feedback structure, you know, constructive criticism. And Greg, you lead with the good, then you give the criticism, then you finish with the good.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works. That's what we're going to do for our first segment. We're going to say something nice about the Mets, then be like, Mets, you know, maybe don't do this anymore. Be like, but Mets, you're doing pretty good. So do you want to go first?
Why don't you go first?
All right. So certainly, we've had some lean years and things are looking up. First place, I think this is maybe not the deepest they've been in first place. Maybe since 2009. I think that was a fact. It's a Mets fact recently. And one of the reasons they're doing so well is Jacob DeGrom is a top 20 pitcher in baseball, Greg.
Better than that if you go over the last, 365 days.
I crunched some numbers. You're right. I took all the pitchers over the past two seasons that have thrown at least 200 innings. I think DeGrom's thrown 220, 230, somewhere in there. He is 7th in ERA, the same in FIP, 10th in K percentage, and 11th in K percentage minus walk percentage. And pretty much everyone ahead of him in those stats are like perennial Cy Young candidates, guys that have won Cy Youngs, and Carlos Carrasco. So.
The Indians rotation is pretty ridiculous. But yeah, go ahead.
So the funny thing is, I said this when I was on the podcast with Alex doing the draft preview. We were, of course, reviewing the 2010 draft where he was selected. And I kept drilling the top 20 thing in because when I did a preseason preview for, I don't remember who it was now. Whatever that paper is you get on the subway in New York.
Metro.
Is that it? That might have been that. I don't know. Whatever it
Metro,
was.
Metro, yeah.
Something, yeah, I think that's right. Metro.
AM New York.
AM New York, yeah. He wanted a breakout pitcher or star pitcher. I said Jacob DeGrom would be a top 20 pitcher in baseball. And all through the spring, and even this past offseason, if you listen to the show, I'm like, we did our starting rotation preview. It's like, is Jacob DeGrom really going to be able to repeat that season? His rookie of the year season. That was a great season. That would be the best season, by rate stats. Obviously, he didn't pitch a full year for many very good pitchers, throughout history. It was a very good season.
Yes.
So you always wonder, he's a little bit older, maybe just like an early peak thing, or just happened to have his career year in his first year in the majors. That kind of stuff can happen. But, over the spring, he looked really good in spring training, and I got constantly beaten down by this by the prospect hate man on Twitter, who is a big Jacob DeGrom fan.
Right.
And so finally I was joking with him in DMs after this interview. I'm like, fine, you finally convinced me he's going to be a top 20 prospect in baseball. But the quote I almost gave was, Jacob DeGrom will be better than Matt Harvey this year. Which would have made me look really good, though Matt Harvey is, I won't say shoving yet, it's too early, but pitching well tonight.